Hallelujah. Praise God. We welcome you here tonight. And we welcome everyone here tonight. You know, we know that there are things happening not only in this country but globally. And there's some things that we've got to not only be prepared for and what's happening, but we must be prepared personally. Personally prepared. And there's things that have been keeping us in bondage. And one of the things that the Spirit was sharing tonight, in fact, we had done a teaching a long time ago, and I could not find it. It's amazing. And I was led to do this teaching, but it's not the same as what would have been done a long time ago. Anyways, it's called Soul Ties. And in this soul tie, so many times when we're in the world, we're looking for a soul tie. Oh, this must be my soul tie. Well, the word tie means to bind. The word tie means to bind. So when there is a soul tie involved in our life, it means that something has been bound to your soul. And I want to start off at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Now there are godly and ungodly soul ties. And it's important that we begin to recognize them and things that open the door to soul ties. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. When man became a living being, he became a spirit, soul, and body, but they were one." Adam was a living being. He was one. There was no division in his house. He was one. In fact, he had a glorified body. Because he was made eternally. He was not made to die. He was made to live forever. And out of Adam came Eve. And she was in the image and likeness of Adam. Adam was in the image and likeness of God. But they were both living beings, both with a spirit, soul, and body. But they were one. There was no division in them. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 John chapter 5. We know that when they fell, the word says a house divided cannot stand. So when Eve began to speak to the serpent and the serpent deceived her and she accepted what he said, her house became divided. Then she gave the same fruit to her husband and his house became divided. That, and then Satan became ruler of the earth instead of Adam. And then a prince of power of air took over. And that's where everything began to die. And it was a curse that was put on the earth. And the Lord warned him, if you take of this tree, you'll die. And that's when Adam and Eve, spirit, soul, and body became divided. And 1 John chapter 5 in verse 7, it says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven." This means eternal realm. "The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." It doesn't mention Jesus because Jesus came forth in the natural realm. He did not have a name yet. He was called the Word. That was his name. Okay. And so here we are in the spirit realm. There was the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, which was known as the tabernacle of God. It was the tabernacle of God. And then in the next verse you see, and it says here, and these three are what? Why don't you all read verse 7 with me? "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." They were one, just like Adam and Eve were created in oneness. The Lord was one. But if you really look at this, it's also associated with the Trinity of God, which is associated with spirit, soul, and body, because we are a triune being. God is also Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. The Father thinks, the Word speaks, and the Spirit moves. The Father thinks, the Word speaks, the Spirit moves. So in this, then in verse 8 it says, and there are three that bear witness on the earth or in the natural, in the physical realm. It is the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So we see here that the tabernacle of heaven was going to come into the natural realm in Christ Jesus. That's why when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was saying, I am the Father, I am the Word, and I am the Spirit. I am the triune God of the tabernacle of God Almighty. Not only that, is not only was the Spirit manifested here in the natural realm, okay, the body was manifested that was prepared for him, and a soul was manifested, the soul of God Almighty, with emotions, with a will, with thoughts, with a desire. His soul was brought forth, and Jesus Christ was the fullness of God. He was God. He took a part of himself and came into the natural realm. Does everybody got it? Praise God. So the tabernacle of God came into the natural realm. That's why he was able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Psalm 24, let's speak this together, starting at verse 3. It says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? This is the tabernacle he's talking about. He says, he who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. And who has not lifted up his what? His soul to a what? Idol. Now your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination. It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, your heart is the character of your spirit. And your soul is what interprets what God is trying to say. So if your soul is not converted, you're not going to understand truly what God is trying to tell you all the time. But your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and imaginations. Then he says this, he says, who can ascend in the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? But he who has a clean hands and pure heart, and has not lifted up his soul to an idol. An idol. Idols. Anything that's between you and God. Idols are associated with emotional attachments. See, emotional attachments cause your soul to be something to be tied to your soul. That is a soul tie. And it can bring bondage. Again, there are godly soul ties and there are ungodly soul ties. It says, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him and who seek your face. So, a pure heart is associated with your spirit, a character of your spirit, not lifted up a soul to an idol. These are what we call, when you lift up your soul to an idol, you become tied, a soul tied to it. These are where an individual sets emotions and thoughts, desires, love, and to serve. And it will bring an area into a soul tie. But one of the things is they cannot be idols in our life. That's called idolatry. Anything that is between you and God. And it so easily happens. People don't even realize that all of a sudden that emotional attachment binds their soul. And what it does is it binds your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, your thoughts. Did you ever notice that the word tells us, my soul is cast down. In other words, when a person looks oppressed, they kind of walk with their head downward, don't they? You know why? Because their thoughts are associated with their past. But I'm telling you, when you lift your head, when we praise and worship the Lord and we lift our hands to heaven and we look up, we're looking at, and being reminded of our future. And that's all the areas in the effect of the soul. The soul of thoughts, the soul of emotions, the soul of choice, and the soul of imagination. So one of the things the Lord wants us to do is sever these ungodly soul ties from us so that we can become free. And it's also associated with casting out these emotional spirits, these emotional attachment spirits from us, which we have a whole teaching on by itself. In Psalm 41 and verse 4, let's speak it together. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my what? Soul, for I have sinned against you. In other words, heal my soul. Why did he want his soul healed? Because he was in torment. How do you know? Did anybody ever have guilt? Condemnation? How about fear? All of those areas are torment to the soul. And guilt only comes is because when you are listening to the voice that speaks to you from your past. He's condemning you from what you've done. But if it's under the blood, God forgives and forgets. It's amazing how we don't. How we don't. We still looking at ourselves. We still are looking at the things that we've done. When he says, come out of that. Break that emotional attachment. Command that emotional attachment spirit to leave and break those soul ties off of your life. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. Look at this, verse 5. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die and his name perish? Isn't that what the enemy loves to say to you? If he comes to see me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me to devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, he clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. In other words, heal my soul because I have sinned against you. Something that you agreed with that was not of God. And when there's something not of God, a sin is known as the presence of evil. When you agree with the presence of evil, your soul gets contaminated. It becomes tied with something. And we usually do something we shouldn't. I want to go back to Psalm 24 for a moment. In verse 7. Psalm 24, verse 7. Let's speak this together. Lift up your what? Heads. When you're lifting up your head and you're praising God, what are you being reminded of? Your future. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall what? Come in. Hallelujah. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in what? Battle. How many of y'all know you're in a battle? Well, then get your face from looking down and start looking up. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And what's he going to come in? He's going to battle for you. The battle over the soul. Deuteronomy 11. Soul ties. Deuteronomy chapter 11. In verse 13. Let's speak it together, please. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. In other words, your heart is the character of your spirit, and your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, imagination. That's the areas of desire also. He's saying, if you'll seek me, if you'll love me with everything that you have, Then, verse 14, then I will give you the what? Rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil. And I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Those other gods are called idols. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. Again, these idols are called gods. They're paganism. They're gods. People worship false things. God calls them idols. In Deuteronomy 13, in verse 4. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 4. Let's speak it together. You shall walk after the Lord your God in what? Fear him, reverence him, honor him, respect him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage. The house of bondage is known as the world. Egypt is known as the ways of the world. People have soul ties of the ways of the world. They have emotional attachments to the ways of the world, and it has tied their soul. Remember, the word tie means bring into bondage. It says, look at this. To entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall put away the evil from your midst. Keep going. If your brother, the son of your mother, the son or your daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, in other words, they become soul ties because they're relatives, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. You shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him. Whoa. But you shall surely what? Kill him. Now, you know, don't go home and kill nobody, all right? But you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. In other words, we're to kill it. Killing something is breaking loose from it. We are to break loose from these idols. And again, because they were familiar with one another, they became soul ties, even with families. And again, this people were brought into bondage. They were brought into a soul tie by emotional attachments. In Psalm 142. Psalm 142. Listen, maybe you got free from certain things yesterday, but how do you know you haven't picked them up again? So there's an area where you and I must constantly maintain severance from these things. Psalm 142 and verse 5. Let's speak it together. Psalm 142, verse 5. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of what? Out of prison. Out of what? Prison. Let me tell you, that's what the enemy wants to do, is put your soul in prison so you are captive to his ways. So that in other words, you're trying to do the things of God, but your soul is so much in prison that the things of God hang around the prison cell. But you're not free yet, because your soul has been put in prison. See, that's why the enemy likes to attack us when we're younger. He likes to attach us to emotional attachments of trauma. That's why when we're younger, one of the things the enemy likes to do is get us into a place of abuse, a place of rejection, because it can put your soul in prison. And let me tell you, you can get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and a part of your soul can still be in prison. It takes your way of confession and exposure to get out of there. And sometimes your confession and exposure allows someone to come and unlock the key for you, unlock the door for you. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may what? Praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. A soul in prison is a soul in bondage. Proverbs 22. And you know, when it's been going on your whole life, you don't even realize it. You just think it's you. this is just how I am. I remember one time there was this individual that was always angry. Said, you know what? You're supposed to be spirit-filled and walking with the Lord and hearing God's voice, but look at your fruit. You're always angry. You're always grumbling and complaining. God doesn't grumble and complain. God's not angry. Well, I'm just that way. No, you're not. That's a part of someone's soul that's in prison. Proverbs 22 and verse 24. Speaking of angry, let's speak it together. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. That's why the Bible says be careful, because bad company corrupts good habits. Snare to your soul. Put it into bondage. In Matthew 19. Matthew 19. In verse 1. It says, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And Jesus answered and said to them, have you not read that he who has made them at the beginning made them male and female? Wow. And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And the two of them shall become one flesh. Or one soul tie. This is a godly soul tie. But even with a godly soul tie, you still sever emotional attachments. Because the enemy uses emotional attachments to interfere with that. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man what? Separatable. Who uses man then? The enemy to what? Separate. Amen? One flesh joined together. A man and a woman. Adam and Eve were joined together. Not Annab and Steve, right? In 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, in other words, lesbians and so forth, and nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have been bound to the ways of the world. And those who love the world are enemies of God. And so if you're an enemy of God, you can't do the will of God, can you? You're going to do the will of the world. And only those who do the will of God will abide forever. So they become soul-tied to the world. And innocent brought them into bondage, so they serve the world. Listen, if you don't have control over your members, your thoughts, your emotions, your imaginations, your desires, if you don't have control over them, someone does. See, we're to have control over self, which is the offspring of darkness. That's why it's called self-control. It's to have control. If you don't have control over those, someone else does. And where there's someone else that has control of them, it's because of an emotional attachment that has brought a soul tie. Is everybody okay? In Proverbs 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6:32. Let's speak it together. What does it say? Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Now listen, the word says that Jesus said it is sin to even lust over a person in their thoughts. So you can become a soul tie with someone by just lusting over a person in your thoughts. It'll bring bondage. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding, and he who does so destroys his what? His own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's wrath. Jealousy is a husband's wrath, he talks about. Why? Because of the committing of the adultery, there was jealousy. And in this jealousy is because of the tie, the emotional attachment that caused a person. Listen, people do not, most of the times people are committing murder because of jealousy or rage or hatred. And it's somehow, some way, there was an offense that had built up because of emotional attachments and soul ties. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Whoa. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. Let's start at 15. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now I want you to understand something very vitally important, that anyone who's ever had sex out of marriage has soul-tied themselves with this individual. And every curse that is on that family line that they had sex with out of marriage has come on them and down onto their children. So it's good to break those off and repent for these things. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, it says what? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. Let me share this with you. Emotional attachments always promote fear. Ungodly soul ties promote fear. Fear of losing, fear of not fulfilling, fear. These are ungodly emotional attachments and ungodly soul ties, fear. But you, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. The word bondage means to tie up, bound. To fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and of children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 18, speak it with me. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So we see the word bondage is associated with fear, and bondage is also associated with the word tie. So when people become soul ties, they become bound. In Psalm 63, in verse 1, let's speak it together. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. In other words, you are following the Lord. You are set your mind towards him. You are set your focus towards him. He's always before you, as we've talked about this before. Always before you. Your desires are towards him. Your emotions are compared to whether they are pleasing to him or not. Let me tell you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. 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 Freedom is not bondage. It's the opposite, okay? Freedom. Freedom to dance, freedom to laugh, freedom to have fun in the presence of God. Freedom to be set free from your past. There is no freedom until you're free from your past. If you're not free from your past, you're still in bondage. And one of the things the enemy wants to do all the time is reattach your past. Lust of the eye. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, fear, anxiety, stress, addictions. Those are all from the past. That's all he wants to do is reattach you emotionally so he can put your soul in bondage and imprison it. But David cried out, my soul thirsts for you. That was a prayer, wasn't it? Psalm 143, in verse 1. Let's speak this together. Psalm 143, in verse 1. This is going to be a prayer. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my what? Remember this. The enemy attacks your soul. God speaks to your spirit. The devil speaks to your soul. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the what? Ground. He has made me dwell in darkness like those who have long been dead. It sounds like his part of his soul is in prison. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way which I should walk. For I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. In other words, he was crying out to be taught. He was asking for escape from this prison. Release me from this prison that my soul has been encaged in. I cannot find relief, even though relief walks around. Send someone to unlock my cage and release me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 14. Is everybody there? What's it say? Do not be what? Unequally yoked with unbelievers. That word yoke means tied, bound. Do not be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Yoked, they are soul tied. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? What has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Idols are gods of this world. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Where the word therefore or might comes, it means that you must cooperate. Therefore, or if the word if, it means you must cooperate. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. See, you can touch something unclean with your thoughts. You can agree with it. And the next thing you know, a little leaven leavens a whole lump. And it brings a flawed perception because you just agreed with a flawed belief system. Now you're seeing things differently than the way you used to or the way you should. You're not seeing through the eyes of God. You're seeing through the eyes of a bound soul. And you are not seeing correctly. You will see according to the way you feel instead of what truth is. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us what? cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God or the reverence of God. Listen, you and I cannot be holy without the Spirit called holy. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit, he's what manifests holiness, not you and I. You and I can't be nothing. We don't even have righteousness. It's his righteousness. Our righteousness is but filthy rags. But one of the things the devil likes to do is he allows you to start off in the spirit, then pulls you back into the flesh and reattaches emotional attachments and ties you up and binds you and puts your soul in prison. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as what? Dear children, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? Sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as a fitting for saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. So we are to what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, it is important because one of the things the Bible says is to renounce the hidden things of shame. Expose these things. Now, I have a sheet here, and it's called the Keys of the Kingdom sheet. And some of us have filled this out already. And I encourage you to take this again if you need to. And on the front sheet, it has strong men. Because what I want people to do is to look this thoroughly through. And it has divination, familiar spirits, jealousy spirit, lying spirits, and so forth. In this front of the sheet, whatever you have done in your any time of your life that you can remember, you circle it. If you don't understand what the word means, look it up. And on the back of it, it has three types of soul ties. They are called criminal soul ties. People that you did something illegal with. What we want is their initials on here, not their names, phone numbers, and addresses. Just put their initials on here. That's all. People you associated while you used drugs. Partiers, friends, all of these things. Any person you used drugs or alcohol with, whatever it was, prescriptions you used to buy from, any of those things. And sexual soul ties. And I know you're not going to remember them all. So on the bottom, you're going to write, and all I can't remember. And I encourage you to fill this out front and back thoroughly. Put your name on it, and you're going to hand it in. And then these will be lifted and prayed for every single day to the Lord until I depart from this planet. But we want to pray over these. The papers will be destroyed so nobody can get them. These will. But the names of the Lord knows. So I encourage you, freedom is a wonderful place to be. nothing worse than torment. And you could have picked up something and allowed your soul to be tied to something today. Whatever it may be. And then we have a teaching called emotional attachments, which I encourage you to go through. And there's a prayer of emotional, breaking labels and emotional attachments off of our life. That's a prayer that should be done every morning and every night. Real simple prayer. See, the enemy's greatest weapon is deception. You don't even know you're reattached. So why wait to know? Keep yourself broken, severed from it. It always reminds me of the first time I went bass fishing with somebody. My neighbor, when we first moved on our block, took me bass fishing. Okay. We were out in his boat, and he stopped and bought these fish. I thought, man, I thought we were going fishing. He said, no, these are shiners. I said, man, they're big enough to eat. He said, well, we're going for largemouth bass. So we went out in the lake, and he hooked up this shiner on the hook and let it go, and it took off. And you could feel the bass. And I wanted to just pull it. He said, no, let it run with it. Because the largemouth bass, his mouth is big, and if you pull it quick, you'll pull the shiner right out of his mouth. I said, let it run. And, man, you know, I was like, whoa, this is cool. Let it run for a while. Now? No, not yet. Let it run. Now? No. Now? Yeah, you can do it now. Boom, and that fish, bang, caught it. And that's what the devil does to us. See, we don't even know that we've been reattached. We don't even know it's right there. We're hooked. And he waits for you to get cleaned up, filled up, smelled up. Restored to your families. He waits for all of these things. Yes, you get a job. You're doing all kinds of stuff. Why? Because he's waiting for you to pull so he can affect more people. Now he's using you as bait. That's why it's important that we stay clean. The Bible says, cleanse yourself from the latter. So you don't do what? The will of Satan. Cleanse yourself. That's not a one-time effect. When people go through deliverance, that's a jump start. It ain't over. It's not over. You must maintain deliverance. You must maintain. And there's something you must always maintain. You must maintain your own mirror, so that you can examine yourself. And what you don't see, don't guess. Get rid of it anyways. Just because you don't see it, I'm telling you, you must sever every morning and every night. Vitally important. So these sheets are up here for anyone that would like to fill them, and anyone that, do we have these on the Eternal Library? You can go to eternallibrary.org, eternallibrary.org, and get these also. There's prayers. There's over 800 teachings on there. I encourage you, go there, learn so you don't burn. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed be imparted to us to grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, bring us the reality so that we may be free from ourselves, from the entanglements and the fears of this world, from our past, and walk in a spirit of truth and power and freedom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.